Well, good morning again, everyone. I want to let you know that Amy decided to take this Sunday off, and so the music is recorded, and thank you to Bill for playing it, and Amy will be back, as usual, of course, next Sunday. And thank you, Jenna, for leading the service today, and thank you, everyone, for being here. As probably some of you know, this is the third Sunday of Advent in the Christian tradition. And typically, in many congregations, it is the Advent Sunday of joy. So I thought this morning, how do we reclaim joy after such an intense 2 years as we have all gone through? And for that matter, how do we make this season, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's, and so on, a time of joy, just like it is in Advent? Is it possible, given that we have the climate crisis, deadly tornadoes, culture wars, COVID variants, politics, and much more? It can seem overwhelming at times. Well, sometimes it takes nothing more than an attitude adjustment. Hear the opening words again from Rumi. If you knew yourself for even one moment, if you could just glimpse your most beautiful face, maybe you wouldn't slumber so deeply in that house of clay. So why not move into your house of joy and shine into every crevice? For you are the secret treasure bearer, and always have been. Didn't you know? Now, when I read that poem, I enjoyed it, except there was one line that became an emotional speed bump. And the line was, if you could just glimpse your most beautiful face. No thank you, was my immediate inner response. I have grown accustomed to looking in the mirror every morning to see the damages of a lifetime. There's a dark patch near my right eye that just appeared some years ago. There are various wrinkles from frowns and worry. There's a visible scar on my chin from an auto accident some years ago. Well, the teeth look good, but they're full dentures, thanks to the same accident. And more recently, there's somewhat receding hair above my forehead. Surely, I thought, there had to be some way to look in the mirror and see joy rather than sadness and even some days self-loathing. Well, I could compare myself to others and their joy in order to make myself more miserable, but that doesn't seem right. That really isn't workable because, in my opinion, we have to find joy ourselves. It is our responsibility. So I had a brilliant idea. I get one every decade. And I decided that I would print out small versions of jokes, reasonably clean jokes, by the way, and I would tape them to the very top of the mirror so that every morning I'd be able to read one. So here's one that I used, and maybe you've all heard it, so just bear with me. A German shepherd, a Doberman, and a cat have died. All three are faced with God on his beautiful throne, who wants to know what they believe in. The German shepherd says, I believe in discipline, training, and loyalty to my master. Good, says God. You sit down on my right side. Doberman, what do you believe in? I believe in the love and care and protection of my master. Ah, yes, you can sit on my left. Then God looks at the cat and says, what do you believe in? The cat answers, "I believe you are sitting in my seat." Let's stop just a moment. How did you feel after you heard that joke in the punchline? Was your mood a little bit lighter? Did you roll your eyes internally or externally because that's the way cats are? If you laughed, and most of you did, was it just a bit uplifting, making things just a little bit lighter? I'd look in the mirror after reading that joke and others, and even if I was in a grumpy mood, I would see the wrinkles change from frowns to laughter, and the creases near my eyes would become extensions of my smile. My eyes seemed brighter. All the blemishes and scars and wrinkles were still there, but somehow less visible and less important. I was, at least for a moment, transformed to joy. I've studied and experienced joy primarily from a Buddhist perspective, so that's how I'll express it today. How do we find joy in a time as this, according to Buddhist teachings? The Buddha instructed his followers to cultivate four states of mind, and they're called various things in depending on the Zen tradition or Theravadan or Tibetan. One version is the four divine abodes, or the four divine states of dwelling, the four immeasurables, or the four perfect virtues. And you get kind of where he was going with this. The four are metta, for loving kindness, karuna, for compassion, mudita, for appreciative joy, and upekkha, for equanimity. Loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity, he said, were the four crown virtues that we carry in our lives to make not only our lives better, but all those around us. Mudita, or appreciative joy, is something that can be natural to our lives, especially in community. It's a type of joy focusing on others and not just ourselves. It comes down oftentimes to being more aware and being aware of our senses as they bring all this information to us. The senses, touch, taste, hearing, sight, smell, and in Buddhism, the last one is the mind. Appreciative joy for others can become a joy that we then embrace ourselves because we are glad that others are in joy. So here's an example. Yesterday, we had the annual hanging of the greens here in the sanctuary. So I think, and according to Deb, I did get this right. Here are the people who were here. Deb, Dan, Dave, Ross, Peggy Bell, Joyce, Jane, and myself. And Matt had come in earlier and done some of the preparation. I watched and participated as I could, even with a back that was complaining to me. And everyone performed like a well-oiled machine. It was really amazing to watch. Yes, there was discussion about where the tree ought to go. Jane and the others decorated the tree with the help of many suggestions from the floor. Dan cut greens and put up this, is this a garland? Okay, put this up, and actually also put it on Facebook, some of the pictures. And let's see, and Dave kind of did everything. He brought tools, he did much of the heavy lifting, And my impression is sort of the Dave of all trades. You could do everything. So thank you especially for that. Deb, Peggy, and Ross, and I think also Joyce, worked on these windows and put bows in all kinds of places, including the front. And it was really very, very impressive. Now, I had to leave about 3 o'clock because I had to work on this, but I also had a lower back that was complaining to me a bit. As I drove back home, I was thinking, what made me feel joyful, even though my back was sore? I mentioned the senses earlier. This is what some of my senses told me, and then I interpreted. I watched a group of adults not get angry or fussy with each other, at least while I was here. I heard plenty of ideas about the best location for the tree and how it was to face you in the congregation. No one yelled. That was a refreshing change from my childhood days when yelling and anger were seasonal norms. It was community at its very best. I smelled the wonderful aroma of the tree and all those branches around us. And it brought me back to a memory of sitting in the farmhouse library before Christmas. There'd be a fire in the fireplace. I would be in a rocking chair, and I'd be maybe 10 or so. The aroma of the lit evergreen tree and the sound of Christmas carols on the radio. The light from the fire and the Christmas tree lights in a darkened room brought a softness to the darkened library. It was peaceful, it was joyful, and it was quiet. So yesterday, these Unitarian Universalist Meadville elves worked hard to bring you and them a joyfulness for the holidays. Now, before we do the offertory, and we did a little bit of this in the meditation time, take a few moments just to experience all the seasonal sights and sounds and aromas and gifts of what they achieved for us, as well as people who might be walking by. Just take a moment and take in appreciative joy. The gift of what not only you were given, but what is shared. If I was to hold up a mirror to you now, I think what you would see, I hope what you'd see, is a measure of joy. And so I would invite us, as we leave here today, to hold on to that joy as much as we can. Because that's what it's there for, is to be used for the future, to pass forward. Joy is precious. It can be a treasure to share with others, whether spontaneously or planned. When we appreciate joy or discover it for ourselves in moments that we did not expect, let us think of joy as seedlings that we can carry to others, to carry outside here, carry to the world itself. After all, as the end of the Rumi poem tells us, for you are the secret treasure bearer, and you always have been. Didn't you know? Thank you.